I'm going to be reading from John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We've found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
I've called it "My Mate's Not Mad" because of the story. So if you've got page 1064 there, or the story of John 1 in front of you, I'll just tell you the story, because you could mistake the New Testament for lots of people becoming slightly mad. That's what you can mistake it for. So let's just do the story. If you look closely, flip the page back, this is the beginning of John's account of the life of Jesus. And at the beginning of John's account, he keeps saying, "The next day." Look at 29, or verse 35, or verse 43. This is the first chapter of his account of Jesus' life. Verse 29, "The next day." Verse 35, "The next day." 43, "The next day." It's like he's got a schedule. He's got a plan. Now the question is, one, why does John tell us the plan? Presumably so we may know Jesus has a certain way of doing things from the beginning. And two, what are we going to do with the plan? Well, that's the point of this particular story in the plan. So here's the story, 43 to 51. A bloke called Philip goes to his mate called Nathanael, when Philip has just met Jesus, to tell Nathanael what Jesus has told him. Now you might say, that is not a sophisticated plan for spreading the Christian faith. Trust me, if it works for a Llanelli boy, it's fine. It works. Watch how the plan unfolds. As we do it, I've just got three little headings, and I think they are three of the barriers to anybody thinking they can be a follower of Jesus. Now, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, think about these barriers for your friend, colleague, family, who might say, "You're all right, you're all right, I like you. You've got your weaknesses, but I like you. But I'm not sure I could be a Christian." Think about your pal like that. If you're in the room and you're saying, "Well, I'm not a Christian, but I've come along because I've got a certain degree of respect for somebody who's asked me to come," I reckon you may have more than the three barriers I can think of. But that's fine, isn't it? Let's see what the barriers to entry, to be where Trevor is, say, might be. Now, let's get into the story. It's more interesting than my preamble. Here's the story. 43. Chapter 1, verse 43, page 1064. "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee." So he's leaving one place, going to a place called Galilee. "Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Philip, like Andrew and Peter, who had been in the story just a couple of lines before, who Jesus found, was from a place called Bethsaida. Little village. Up north. Up north's a funny place everywhere in the world. Up north. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth. I mean, it doesn't shout it in the text, but if you look at it, it must be said in a... Nazareth! Can anything good come from there? Like meeting someone from Swansea. No, sorry. Sorry. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Now, let's dig up the story. I think this barrier, I made up the barrier, not the passage, is weird. Christians aren't weird. I think that's the first barrier to entry if you're thinking about becoming a Christian. Let me explain why I think that from this bit of the story that John has captured for us. First of all, Philip meets Jesus. Then 45, Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, "Nathanael, how are you? Good morning? Yeah, excellent. What about yourself?" Good. Good one, Nathanael. I was just at work and had a coffee break and I bumped into the Messiah. What do you mean you bumped into the Messiah? Well, you know our country's been waiting about 800 years for somebody to come from God and rescue us and change the whole world forever. Yeah, that's the same Messiah we talk about in Saturday school. Yeah, him. That's the one. Good. Well, yeah, I bumped into him in Costa. Now, at this point, you see, at this point, now obviously there was no cost at the time, you know it's a joke, right? But obviously, right, at this point, because they know each other, he hasn't just gone water nutter and walked away, because it's somebody he knows, see? Obvious, isn't it? Now, I can remember I was a student here long ago in the 20th century, and I used to walk down Queen Street. Now, older people than me or my age will remember this, and you might be here, this person. That would be amazing. There was a man who used to preach on Queen Street in the 80s. Does anyone remember that? Is he still there? No. No, not here. I used to walk past this bloke on Queen Street, very regular, going, "What a nutter." But over 3 or 4 years, you know, you walk down Queen Street, he's there again, no one's ever talking to him. And you can easily tell your story about your mate making a difference to you. But I don't want to lose the fact that people do unorthodox things. Who are geniuses. And God uses everything. But so often it needs this particular barrier of being weird to fall over. So this is how this barrier falls over for this man. Where's he from then? Can you imagine him saying it, 46? All right then, where's he from then? Nazareth. He must have whispered it, Nazareth. Because Nazareth is never mentioned in the Old Testament. The Messiah, the Old Testament says, is coming from Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, an old guy, prophet, writer in the Old Testament. Bethlehem. Nazareth, an absolute dump, round the corner, down the road, never mentioned. Why are you from Nazareth? All right, let's clarify this then, mate. You bumped into the king of our nation that has never appeared and is going to change the world and get rid of the Romans and make the world proper. Yes, that's the one. And he's from Nazareth. Good lad. Hot this morning, wasn't it? Sun on your neck, Palestine. Have a sit down. Take it easy. See, that's the interchange that happens here. I suspect the reason that he would listen is that he knew Philip. Now, here's the question, isn't it? Who can you think of at this very moment, so I won't ask you to do it, I mean, I live in England, right? So you would never do anything showing emotion there. Because people would be leaving now in case they thought I was going to ask them to do something. But I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just want you to think. When I say, who's the most influential human being on you, either being a Christian today or thinking about it? I promise not to ask anyone to tell me. Got a name? Can you go on, nod your head at least. Can you think of a name? Granny? Dad, youth leader, pal at school, somebody at college, somebody at work, somebody in my club. You think of them? Maybe two or three people. You think, class act she was. She was class. Christianity begins so often as a journey by a bloke saying, what a great lad. I really like him, and I don't know his religious mind. She's great to work with. She's a lovely girl. I mean, I know her weaknesses. She's a Christian mind. They don't put the two together for a while, but there's something about this human being that has met Christ. When Trevor speaks, great, isn't it? Because you can have a bit of banter. Isn't it? You know, I'm going to choke you. Oh, no, I choked again. But what you see is, and you know, forgive me, Trevor, if your mates are not, you can just tell, good bloke. Flawed like everybody, but a good bloke. When your friend meets Jesus Christ, it changes you, the friend. It just must. So that barrier crashes. Now, obviously, there's one problem here, the weird barrier. This is the problem. If you are weird, like truly weird, right? Like truly weird, and you are a Christian, right? I wouldn't worry about this barrier for two reasons. One, you won't know you're weird, which is what makes you weird in the first place. And two, any friends you've got are weird. So you quit it. So it doesn't change anything. You've got to say that, you know. Here's the second part of the story. Let me tell you what the barrier, I think, and Trevor, you mentioned it. Relevance. You might know people. You might know family. But there's a crucial second of three. I like her. I respect him. My parents are good parents to me. I just can't see how wonderful as it seems to be for my pal or my parent. How could this change things for me? I can't. It's not even see it, is it? I can't feel it. Let's look at part two of the story. I think God gives us this stories like this to help us to see what happens as Jesus sets about the next day and the next day. This is the life of the church, you see. Pass on the incredible news that somebody loves you so much that you can't even begin to believe it when you know you're so broken and you're so loved. How can God be like this to me? That's all the gospel message passes on all the time. So Jesus shows us that it's not sophisticated. You don't have to be formally educated in Christianity to pass on Christ. First, you just have to try and be better at being normal with your pals and family and workmates. You have to say something of Christ. I've just met the Messiah. I wonder if he was nervous when he said, I've just met the guy we've been waiting for. He probably was a bit. But he was also excited. And who do you tell when you're excited? About your mate. So, here we are, stage two. Where's he from? Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth, idiot. That's added. Verse 46. Come and see, says Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You really are the King of Israel, the King we've been waiting for, Messiah, King. You really are. Now, a quick change of mind this, isn't it? This doesn't take long. Let's dig out the story a bit. Have a look at it in front of you. Much better than looking at me. You know, don't you? If you give a talk, it's much more encouraging when somebody looks at the story than at you. For all kinds of reasons. But particularly because it's not my story. This is the Bible's story. And looking at what the Bible says, however many Bibles have sat in our shelves over the years, is precious. It's how we meet Christ. So here he is in the story. Come and see, says Philip. What a genius. He didn't pout, you know. His friend said, don't be soft. Don't, from Nazareth, don't be soft, will you? We've been waiting centuries for him. What are you on about? You know, if it was me, I'd have said, hey, shut up, right? What do you know? I was there. Cool as a cucumber. He just says, well, have a look if you want. No pressure, mate. No pressure, my friend. Listen, I'm telling you, look, all I know is I've met Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah. It's not his surname. It's not in the address book like that. I've met Christ, Messiah, King. I've met the King of Israel, God's man to change the world. I have met him. I don't know. I just work with you. I just have met him. And he changed me. And I'm telling you. Oh, don't be soft. It wouldn't work for me. It wouldn't be right. Well, come and have a look. See what he just did. Come and have a look. Now, that's not hard. He didn't need a theology degree to say, come and have a look. Did he, though? We think, oh, it's got to be complicated. Come have a look. Watch what happens next. This is where, in the church's history, the Holy Spirit moves now. This is what happens when you, if you're a Christian this morning, come to know Christ. All sorts of different ways and experiences, but I can guarantee this has happened to you if you're a Christian. And if you're not sure that you are a Christian, this may not have become a reality yet. But I can describe it to you from the story. Watch what happens in the story. When Jesus, 47, saw Nathanael approaching, he said two things. Here is a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false. I'll explain that in a moment. Nathanael is shocked. Look, 48. How do you know me? Oh, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Oh, you are. Now, what changed here? Look close. What changed here? This is what changed. Jesus quoted him two things from his own culture of growing up as a Jewish kid at Saturday school. Two bits of the Old Testament that this boy would have known really well. He took the Bible and showed him two things in the Bible, and the arrow to the boy's heart went bang. Oh my word, this is about me. Here's the two. Here's a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false. Reevesy, John quoted the Psalms at the beginning, made a mistake because it was the wrong song. Well done, Reevesy. That's why I got you out of jail just now. Pal. But in the Psalms, in the hymn book of Israel, there is a Psalm 32, and it's written by a guy called David who's really screwed his life up, and he realizes God still forgives him. And in the Psalm 32, he says, I want to be a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false. So Jesus says, Nathanael, nice to meet you. Yeah, I bumped into your pal, Philip. How are you? Good. Hey, listen, I know you can't bear the fact that you screw things up in life. And you've hurt people. I know that, mate. Don't worry. I know already. How do you know that? You can't know that. I haven't even met you. What do you mean? You know how I feel about how I've screwed things up. Oh, well, it's easy. Before Philip came and you were under the fig tree. And the fig tree reference is a famous one in the culture they grew up in. It's in a prophet that says, a man called Zechariah, who says that one day, this country won't be ruled by Rome as it is at the time. It'll be free, and every man, because it's a sort of male-oriented culture, won't have to work for the Romans, but he'll have his own land, and he can care for his own family without fear of oppression from the outside. Now replay it. Hiya, how are you? Nice to meet you. Good to meet you. Listen, I know you can't stand the things that you do in private that aren't seen in public. How do you know that? Well, because I know you want the world to be a better place. And you hate injustice and evil, and you see it most in yourself. So, Nathanael, I know you. Oh, my word. You are so relevant to me, it's scary. Somewhere, this could be a precious moment in someone's life. It could be the most delightful moment in your life for years and years. Somewhere, a boy or a girl, a woman or a man, They will know somebody who's a Christian and they'll say, I like her. And it can be your family, of course. I like my nan, my parents. They're good. Or a friend says, there's something about her. It's a Christianity, isn't it, really? But then something incredible happens. It goes from second hand to first hand. You know this feeling if you've gone through it? Oh, my word, Jesus cares about me. Not my mother. Me. And you don't quite know what to do with it, isn't it? It's a bit of a flutter somewhere inside. He knows me. He loves me. He's for me. Oh, my word. I think I could be a Christian. And when that brain thing happens, the revolution begins. Because the first thing that happens, as soon as that happens in your head, the next line is, don't be ridiculous. What will they say? What on earth will people say about you if you become a Christian? The next line goes, you can't be a Christian anyway. Look at the stuff you've done. Hey, listen, all those people who you know are Christians, they're so much better than you are. You'll never be able to be one of them. Now, here's the irony, if that thought pattern exists in you today. Here's a real weird irony. The older you get, the worse you get. Have you worked this out? I used to think, I've been a Christian 54 since I was 22. I used to think I'd get better. I'm getting worse. I know you can't laugh out loud because you'll have to admit it. I'm good, like, I can duck and dive and I can show the right things and I can be right up front. But underneath, I'm thinking, I'm getting worse every year. The fight gets harder. But you know, it's not that you're getting worse. I've always been this bad. It's just the more you know Christ, the more you know how wonderful he is. And the more you know what nonsense goes on inside you all the time. And that's why the story doesn't end with barrier two. So let me hasten to barrier three. My link to barrier three is phoning a great friend who had told me about Jesus called Gwion Jenkins. And I phoned him from a phone box, pre-proper phones in your house, and a mobile phone for sure. I phoned him from a coin box in Cambridge a year after leaving Cardiff. He was a lengthy boy and he told me about Jesus at school. And I phoned Gwion Jenkins. I said, Gwion, Graham Daniels here. I Graham, crackly line, long time ago. Graham Daniels here. Are you good? Listen, great news, Gwion. I've become a Christian. It's first hand. It's not yours. It's mine. I didn't shout it like that. It's mine. And on the other end of the crackly line is a moment's silence. And he goes like this. Good. 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 Very good. This was February. I got back to Llanelli at the end of the football season in March. And I tell you that because of last point. 50 to 51. Christ's death is necessary. You see, the story should end like that, shouldn't it? You are the Son of God, 49. You are the King of Israel. Gwion, I'm in. It's first hand. I'm in. Well, baptize him now. Crack on. But the story doesn't end. Why doesn't it end? Because there's a third barrier. Christ's death is necessary. You've got to get it. And I love the interchange, Dave Reevesy and you, Trev, about telling your story. I mean, what a great interchange that was. I was honoured to listen in to the fact that that happened between the three or more of you. I really was honoured because it summarises part three of the story. Jesus said, you believe just because I told you you're an idealist. Well, yes, of course I did. It feels good. It feels right. It feels real. It feels like you know me. What you believe just because the creator of the universe can get under your skin and knows who you are and what your emotions are. That's easy, son. And Jesus says one more thing. You will see greater things than this, Nathaniel. You're going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He gives him one more quote from his cultural background. He says, Nathaniel, Do you remember the story of two blokes, Esau and Jacob, that you grew up with in Saturday school? And do you remember the story that one of them was an absolute waster who stole his brother's inheritance and ran away? And as he ran away, because he knew his brother would have him for stealing the money, he lay down to sleep. And do you remember the Saturday school story where he had a dream there was a stairway from heaven to earth? And God was saying, I am coming after you. I'm not letting you go. You may be an absolute waster who's nicked all your family's money, but I will never let you go, son. You are a waster and I love you. Philip says to Nathaniel, mate, listen, it's great that you got excited in your heart and your palpitations grow a bit because you're thinking, oh gosh, God knows me and it matters and it's not just my friends. But son, it's not enough. You've got to know this one thing. One day, Nathaniel, and it's not far away, it's the end of John's gospel. One day, heaven is going to be ripped open because you are going to work out that I am the one who has come from God. And I'm the one who is reaching out my hand to you. And I know that you're an idealist, but you're a waster. I know that you want the world to be a better place, but you're a hypocrite. But this is what you don't know yet, mate. My death is the death of the only one who was never a waster, who never lied, stole, cheated, abused anyone, cursed anyone, backstabbed anyone, slyly dug. No, he never did it. And he died there for the waster Nathaniel and Jacob. And Graham, and you. Isn't it, Trevor? That's the story. That's the story. That's the real story. More wicked than I could ever imagine. And I still haven't worked out how wicked I can be. Because it keeps creeping out. Because I am more loved than I could possibly know. Because the years rolled by in that first-hand friendship with Jesus. I don't know, the way you start is the way it continues. He just keeps thinking, I'm such a waster. And he just keeps saying, but I love you. He said, but I'm such a waster. And he says, I know. But I love you and I'm in you and we're going somewhere, my friend. And one day I'm going to see you again and it'll all be washed away. I'm with you all the way. That's how it starts. That's how it finishes. If you think you bring anything to the table, if you've been a Christian 50 years, you're a fool. You're a fool. He brings it all to the table. It's his spirit in me. It's his life in me. That's my life. The bits I bit will have to be burnt away one day. They're rubbish. But he's class. And the first-hand relationship gets stronger and deeper. And he is great and you are small. And therefore, that's why Gwion Jenkins wanted to say to me, good. Because when I saw him in the summer, he wanted to make sure that I knew that Christ's death was necessary. We must not malform people at birth, isn't it? It's not only about first-hand thrill that God loves me and knows me. It's that without fail, but it's the clarity that my sin, my fracture, my rebellion, my hypocrisy is so great that a price had to be paid and God would pay the price of justice on a human head. And he pays it out of love, and justice meets love at a cross. And then he beats death and he comes to live in us. And here we are in the middle of Cardiff on a Sunday morning. Here we are, look. Who can believe it? I can't help the subjective reference. Michelle and I walked thousands of times from the uni down to Ninian Road and Hendy Street and walked past here. Never batted an eyelid. But as I close, you know, I want to look back. I put a list of names down. I wonder who yours are, if you've become a follower of Jesus or if you're on the way. Here's my little list. Gwion, John Drehan, good cricketer, now minister in Llanelli. Geraint Jones, church planted, West Wales. Kevin Adams and his brother Derek Adams. Good lads, funny. Derek, not bad at tennis. Couldn't beat me, but not bad at tennis. Michael Jenkins, boffin of the universe, went to Cambridge, was doing his PhD. I walked down King's Parade as a footballer, and there's Michael Jenkins, who I used to tease on the bus about being a Christian. And Jenkins, I saw him on King's Parade in a mate's car. I jumped out of my car, ran after him, and said, Michael Jenkins, Michael Jenkins! And I saw his face collapse with horror, this dreadful boy from school. I said, are you still a Christian? And he was really cautious, and he went, yes. I said, so am I. He said, you shouldn't make fun of things like this. And he took me to church. He took me to church. Steve and Andy, two medics, two brothers, playing football for the uni. I played in my final year at uni. Two brothers, unashamedly Christian, brilliant players, good players. Unashamedly Christian. And you know, the older I get, the more people I remember who influenced me. Do you have that feeling? You think of all the great people. Small bits of story. If you're here today and you are Nathaniel, if you are a person who's not sure, let those barriers be clear. Weird, irrelevant. Christ is necessary. His truth. If you're Philip, come on now, Philip, what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? Don't leave it to the other Philip. Don't do it. Just live. Be normal. Say something. Don't negotiate about things. Christ is big. Christ is strong. Christ has a plan. The next day, the next day, the next day. Get up tomorrow, my friends. First thing Nathaniel say, I follow Jesus. I've turned to Christ. Is that straightforward? And then you're a Philip, obviously. So drop your old name. And then tomorrow, Philip, go to work, go to school, go to college and say, the next day, here we go. The mission goes on. It started simple. It cost no money. And here we are in 2016 in the room right here. Did the plan work? I think so. I really think so. Will it work till the end? I think so. It'll run and run. And you should walk out of this door today proud to be part of the plan. Let's pray. Thank you. Thank you for what we've seen and heard in all ways, in singing and prayer, in Trevor's story, in the baptism, in the symbol of baptism. You are kind to us, very kind to us. And we thank you that we are not mad. We walk out of the door knowing that we are as sane as it's humanly possible to be because of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.